Welcome to Listen to Older Voices, a program produced for Uniting Melba and podcast through the Toorak Times. It's always a pleasure to bring you, through their stories, the life and times of older people in our community. All very interesting, all very different, and all very entertaining. This is a special Baby Boomers edition. Rob Greaves here, and it's a pleasure having you join me for the third and final part of the story of Stan Azzopardi. Born in Malta during World War II, Stan's migration to Australia with his family post-war led him to a very successful professional and lifelong career in music, both as a player and as an engineer-producer. This week we learn more about his wife Mary, whom he acknowledges for many years was in fact a band widow. He and Mary love to travel, and after their children have grown up, they've undertaken and continue to undertake many overseas trips. Stan also talks at length about his three sons, who have inherited his love and talent for music. Family is very important to Stan, and this becomes quite apparent as we listen. But there's more to him than music, and he shares his thoughts and his beliefs on a number of social topics, and in doing so, we end up with a very good understanding of some of the many sides of this man, Stan Azzopardi. We pick up now with Stan talking about what he had to do after all his musical equipment was stolen from his car. What did you do?
I went then to Sutton Tools as a packer and storeman, and built up from there to become a sales rep.
Oh, okay.
And I've been a sales rep all my life then.
Okay.
So
your life really has had two parallels, hasn't it?
It's oh.
A very strong music one,
yeah.
But also sales and sales.
Yeah, and sales, which helped the music that I could sell the band.
Indeed.
Because every gig I've ever got with the Premiers or the Paul McCartney or any band, even the Stex, I did all the groundwork, not through any agencies.
Which is a problem for most bands, isn't it? Most
it is.
Artists. They
it
don't
is.
Know how to market or sell themselves.
That's right.
And you put your hands in somebody else, you've really got no control there.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you and Mary ever do any travelling together?
Oh, I should let Mary talk about that one. Mary loves travelling. Look,
right.
I'll give it to her. When I was in the bands, she had bring up the four kids, very unsocial life. A band widow, they call her, right?
Yes.
So then when all the kids were off her hands, starting around about 1985, 86, 90, we started travelling. So first, besides doing land tours, Malta, Europe, America, we saw all these big ships when we were in America, all going to Alaska. What's all these ships going to Alaska? So we thought we'd try going to Alaska on a cruise ship. Well, that was the hook, wasn't it? Like a hook in the song. And since then we've done several 28 cruises, 30 cruises
so
around the world.
So boat-based trips are really what you enjoy most?
But I love the boat trips because you unpack once, you see all the entertainment on the ship, because I love entertainment still.
Of course.
Seeing other people. And you see all the world around, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Have you got a favourite place you've been to?
Europe and America. America, a favourite place in America was Branson, again, because of, not in Missouri.
I was going to say, where's Branson?
In Missouri. There's a lot That's of music a... there. There's a music, all the, we went there for 7 nights, we saw 10 shows. All tribute shows, most of them, but to die for, the Americans do it so well.
Oh, look, you couldn't
the
argue
Americans
with that. I'm
so
just
well.
Very intrigued by going to Branson, because I think if I was speaking to a whole group of musicians, 9 out of 10 would probably be going, New Orleans or, you know, even parts of L.A. or San Francisco. But
I've been to New Orleans, I've been to Memphis, I've been to Nashville.
And they didn't grab you as much?
No, they grabbed me, but not as much as Branson, because Branson would see the show.
Right.
All you could see in New Orleans is a few spots in hotels was mainly jazz orientated rather than rock and roll. Right.
Right.
Memphis was great. I was went to B.B. King's place.
Oh, that would have been
good buzz. Good buzz. I mean, the Sun Studios to see all the recordings. Sorry. That's fantastic. Any musician should go to see the Sun Studios.
Mm.
Being involved,
of course,
that was great. But Branson, you see shows. $30-40. Went to Vegas, saw about 5 shows in Branson. Only last year, then we saw Human Nature. It was great. Then we saw a couple of Elvis impersonators. But they were so good.
Oh, I think if you're going to play those venues, you have to be good, don't you?
And a Bee Gees tribute From Melbourne. They were Melbourne.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, they were over there. I said, they're from Melbourne, from Australia.
Right.
They were so good. You have to be good to do that. Be there.
You mentioned Europe was another place you enjoyed. What part of Europe? Because that's so many countries.
Yeah, well, as you know, we come from Malta. So every time we go to Malta, we call it the cruise around the Mediterranean. That's good. My love Paris, which I do too. We've been to Paris about four times.
Any parts of Paris in particular that you like?
Champs-Élysées, the whole Eiffel Tower. You got to do all these things, you know. As much as I love travelling everything, the best place is Australia. And unless you've travelled, you don't appreciate Australia as much for everything.
Well, okay, I'm not going to let you get away with saying for everything. For you, what is it about Australia that you love so much?
Always lived in Melbourne. The ability, if you want to get off your bottom and do something and work, whether it's music or day work. I've never been out of work one day. I started at 13, as I told you. Retired at 63 because of a heart condition. I'm fine now, thank you. That's 50 years. Not once did I have to go on a handout to get a help. Raised four boys. Not one of them ever been on a payout. That's what's good about Australia. I taught them how to fish, not give them a fish. That means if you give them a fish, you feed them for one day. If you teach them how to fish, you feed them the rest of his life. That's what my four boys have done.
So you're very proud of your boys, aren't you?
I am very proud of them. They love me. I love them.
Yes. Do you see them often?
Very often, like once every 2 weeks. Except for Robert. He went to Malta, this silly boy. He went to Malta for a holiday. He's a great musician. And that was 11 years ago. He loved it. He stayed there 11 years.
Well, in some ways, it's kind of almost his roots, isn't it? Even though he was born it's very strong, obviously, for him.
Well, he's the boy that wrote songs with Tina Arena in this exactly where he's sitting there now, and Judith Durham.
Right.
And very, very talented in that area. And he's the one that had that crime, wrote the song
Crime.
And won all those things. But then he's living in Malta. He's got a job at Studio 7 there, and he's doing well there.
Is family important to most Maltese?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Family is, to me, all the Maltese I know, they're close friends of mine. We love our family. We love their mum and dads. And your kids, the way you bring up your kids is a reflection on how you bring them up is what they give you back. They give me so much enjoyment back, my four boys, with their musicianship. Like the young boy, the two drummers and two piano players. That's their forte, right?
Yes.
But the oldest one plays drums, bass and guitar, right?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, because his younger brother played drums, he stood back and played the bass so he can join him in his band.
Yes,
and he's turned out to be a good drummer. Danny's a really good drummer. Yeah. So, you know, that's...
You mentioned how close you are and how close the families of your Maltese friends are and how the issue of reflection and how everything works well. If you look at the general community outside today, do you see it as being close in terms of families?
Yeah, it's a hard question.
Because there seems to be... Okay, let me rephrase it. If you go back into the 50s and 60s, there's always going to be trouble, I mean, especially teenage, especially in the rockers and jazzers days. Yeah. There'll always be that. But generally, things were fairly safe. Oh. You could walk the streets at night. Families instilled respect in their kids and the community had a general respect for each other. Notwithstanding, there was always issues. It doesn't seem like that today.
That I can answer now. Let me phrase it that way. In the old days, like when Mary and Clifford Road, they used to leave the key in the door. They can go and sleep outside on the front nature strip there because it was so hot. No air conditioning in those days, right? You sleep outside. Even here, no bolting of doors and no, you know. But now it's different. Totally different now. Huh?
I know you aren't responsible for the world and who'd want to be. And so I'd still like to ask you, though, as an older Australian, as somebody who's grown up through all these decades and is obviously a man who takes time to observe on what's going on around him, why, in your opinion, has society become so disjointed and even angry and violent?
They don't communicate as well. They don't communicate as we used to communicate with modern technology. They don't communicate. Everyone's so busy with their job. So busy, even my sons, they're so busy, they still find time to come in, do a bit of recording for me. But it's like asking them an impossible, I don't want to infringe on their time because they're so busy bringing up their kids They've got to work harder to make ends meet with their commitments. You know, there seems to be more going on now. It was more simpler in my younger days. You know, you'd come here, I'd practice my guitar, go and have a gig, go out with me mates. It's harder. Everyone's so busy with their day job and their families, their own families, to meet with other people more. We used to go out when the kids were younger, my kids were younger. I used to go with my brother and my sisters. Once a month we'd go for picnics.
And you'd be talking to each other.
Talking to each other.
Not now, standing in front of a screen, grandkids, little screen,
my
tapping
grandkids
it.
Come in, all they do is...
Yes.
You know, I've got five grandkids, all 10 years old and under. Sorry, five of them, ten, all being 10 and one 11. And four grandkids being 28 and to 21. And I'm very proud of all my grandkids.
Of course you would be.
One of my grandsons is in the army, doing his bit for the army. He's been there for 4 years now. His sister, 21, Jessie, she's become a policewoman.
Right.
Fully qualified.
So very community-minded.
Yeah, community-minded. Yeah. But the youngers are 10 years old. They come, we had them over sleepover. The five of them. Poops. What, five grandkids at one time? They get on so well together, they got no idea. Not once have they, ever growing up, did they say, oh, he's got my pen, or he's got my ball. Never. They get on so well. It's a pleasure having them. But with their iPads.
It's almost as if the technology stopped being the slave of the human and become the master.
Well, that's true.
We can't turn the clock back. We can't make things like, and we often talk about the good old days, and there was a lot not so good in the old days.
True,
we know
true,
that.
True.
But we can't turn time back.
No.
But how can we make the future better? Like, you've got grandchildren who you're very proud of. Let me ask you this question. Do you fear for the future for them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The way Australia's going, the people in Australia, well, I can speak about Melbourne, okay?
Yes.
They seem to be angry at everything. Not all the people, but all the bad news we're hearing, all the home invasions.
Yes.
We've never heard of home invasions before. So I fear for my children. My grandson has to walk home from school. I fear for her. She has to walk, because of conditions, she has to walk from school. She's 10 years old. She's walking with her brother and another girl. And we warn them, do not talk to strangers. Unless you know them. Don't let them say, oh, mummy said this. You never used to do this in the old
never
days.
Thought of it. No, it wasn't an issue.
You
no,
know?
No.
Now it happens to be that way. You have to be that way. You know?
Listen to Older Voices. Living History on Ageless Radio. I'm Rob Greaves and I'm talking with Stan Azzopardi, and Stan is talking about the societal changes that he's seen around him.
Back to their iPads, one thing that surprised me was the five of them, all had iPads here the other day, they had a sleepover, but they're all playing one game at least between the five of them. They were involved with the five of them. And nothing gives me great pleasure than seeing play with one another, and they're doing their gymnastic ones and dancing, and they're doing this gymnastic and they're doing the chicken song. I've got it all on video, by the way. I'm mad buff on next to my music. My passion is videoing and movies, but I've got so many footage of my eldest son starting when he's now 53. When he was 18 months old, when we moved into this home 52 years ago, on 8mm movies.
Mm-hmm.
People might not know what I'm talking about. 8mm movies.
If there are older people listening, though.
Yeah, you have to wind up the camera. But
right.
I managed to convert all that to digital.
Yes.
I've got about 10 hours of all that footage. Now, in those days, 3 minutes of footage used to cost me £10 or $10, whatever.
Mm.
But I managed to get one every 3 months to get them all growing. They watch them. They show their grandkids. That keeps the family together.
That's a wonderful thing to have done, isn't it? Because, I mean, what you've done is given something that can be handed on.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Mm.
They've all got a copy. One of my four boys got a copy of all this. And every year we bring the photos of the grandkids. They all hang out for the end of the year DVD. We compile all the photos and videos and make a DVD.
It's almost like a living family tree.
Well, it is. Better than just seeing Joe Blow.
That's right.
You're seeing Joe Blow jumping around.
You've mentioned, and we've talked about the anger and distrust and things like that out in the community. What about the environment? How do you see the future in terms of the environment and the future for your children or grandchildren?
Well, the environment is something we can control a little bit of by not dropping stuff on the floor, being dirty, as if smoking, throw on the ground. not everybody takes care of the environment. I concern myself with the kids, but the this global warming is not just what we're doing. The global warming is the world is changing. The world's been changing since it was made. Every year it changes. It's like a spinning top. The world doesn't spin exactly round. It goes around. We're having all these disasters with heat waves and with weather. It's not man-made. And I don't think Australia, everybody think, oh, we're doing a bit for the environment because of the what we're doing with not coal, burning coal. You look at this, 24 million people in Australia, 1.4 billion people in China, and 1.4 billion in India. What's 24 going to affect what they're doing up there?
So is it partially a case of the planet shrinking under the sheer weight of number of humans?
Too many humans. There's 7.3 billion now. How do I try to explain this to a 10-year-old kid, my grandchildren? They don't understand 1.4 billion.
No.
I said, look, you've got 1,400 lollies in your one pocket, right? And I want 24 of those lollies. We've got 1,400, they understand 1,400 lollies, a 10-year-old. Give me 24 lollies out of 1,024. Would you miss that 24? I said, no, that's nothing. So that's the equivalent of people in Australia as against only one country, China. Now, India has got exactly another 1,400 lollies in their pocket. You give me 24 from them. Now, add that 1,400, that's 2,800 lollies in your pocket. Give me 24. They say, oh, that's nothing then. Well, that's how I make them see the equivalence of people here in Australia. And we are worried about what we're doing wrong. They're not giving a damn what they're doing wrong. Have you been to India? Have you been to China?
Yes, I have.
I've been to China. China in the middle is fantastic. We can learn a lot from China. The cleanliness in the heart of China. But they're not doing anything about the environment. You know, that's my personal opinion. You cut that out.
No. This is what we are wanting, to your opinion.
And I'm trying to teach my kids that. You know, so now, you know, and I teach my two children how a lot of children don't understand why there's day and night. They don't understand day and night. They don't understand why it's summer here and winter over there. They don't understand why. And I explain to them. I put a globe around, show them, teach them how about the world, because the world one day is going to just give up its ghost, you know. The people killing the people themselves. I mean, all these poor refugees that are going around the world, I feel sorry for them. Why don't we fix their governments up instead of taking care of the people?
Well, we could go down that path, and I think there's one word in there, and that's greed.
Greed and money.
Yeah,
exactly.
People
greed
in power, we'll never want to give it up.
No, because, exactly. Yeah. And that's a problem. They're trying to fix the crack in the ceiling. They should fix the foundations first. That's my opinion.
That's a very interesting piece of philosophy. Don't worry about the cracks, deal with the foundations.
So you're dealing with the cracks with all the to be humane with the people getting away from their country. But if you fix their country up, they want to live in their country. I'm sure they don't want to leave their country. Would you want to leave here? No. They don't want to leave their country either. But they're being suppressed or oppressed by the... Why don't we fix their government up? I don't care what you do. But I can't suggest what to do there, but... Fix that up, then you fix the foundation, then people can live happily in their own place.
You, as I said, have lived through many decades, and I suspect that many people of our generation think in some ways we've actually lived through the best years.
Oh, most definitely. Oh, I'll cut you short there. That I'd say that to everyone and my kids. My wife and I and you have lived in the best era of the world. We did not see the World War. We have not lived through hardships. In this country, you come here, you worked, and you got paid. It's what these people come here. We didn't get nothing when I came here in Australia in 1950.
No.
My dad got nothing. He had to go and work for £3, £5 a week.
Yes.
Right? And we've achieved what we've achieved from working. But these people come here now, they want this, they want a house, they want a phone, they want the rights, they want everything. And they're not prepared to give to the country. We were prepared to give to the country by working.
It'd be very hard to argue or mount an argument against you in terms of this has been the best period, because for all the reasons you've said, plus, you know, we've lived through the growth of the country in terms of, you know, social changes, do have lots of great work opportunities, the music, arts, everything's grown through this period.
And you're tuned to Listen to Older Voices, the program that features the stories of the activities of older people as they continue their contribution to our nation.
You're still, in some ways, got many years left in your life. You're still a very active, vital man, aren't you?
I'm active, yes.
Yes, yes. Okay, at our age, little bits start falling off all over the piece. And okay, none of us know, we might walk down the corner and the bus might hit us.
Absolutely. That's,
but all things Think being positive. Equal, you've got 10, 15, 20 years of life left. If, unless that bus
Hopefully.
Hits you.
Well, my father was 95 when he died. Mum died younger, but my dad's 95. So, and with modern medicine, I've got to tell you, with modern medicine, they saved my life twice without going into any detail. Yeah. But they saved my life twice. I mean, really saved my life twice. Aneurysm on my heart, 2 stents only 3 months ago. I'm good as gold.
What would you like to achieve in the next 20 years? What do you see yourself doing, or what? Or you just literally take one day at a time?
One day, 1 year at a time. I plan a year ahead. Like Mary's planned this year to go on holidays again. We're going to go to Malta, blah, blah, blah. I'm starting, as I told you, with Lex. Unfortunately, after 17 years, he decided to retire, which is fine.
But you're going to keep the music going.
Music going with Dennis. At first, it was going to be a hard. You can't replace one after 17 years. And this guy, I love him more than my brother.
I don't know we've mentioned his name for people.
Lex Barotta. Lex Barotta.
He was your music partner.
My music partner for 17 years as a duo. And 5 years prior to that, in the second premieres were together. You know, I've known him, and I love him more than my brother. And I don't care if my brother hears me. This is a fact. That's how I love the guy. And he left the music only because he's tired and he wants to give it away for a while. And
I can understand. Yeah, time to stop.
I respect that.
Not you.
I thought about it. I said maybe it's time for me to hang up. Don't come across as Dennis Bugatt. Which was used to sing with me in the premieres in the 60s, and also used to sing with Lex Barotta in his own band between 17 years ago, and he's a great singer. So we gave it a shot. We did our first performance at the club last month, and it was well accepted, meaning it had a full house plus people on standby to come and see us play. We booked playing there again on the 16th of March.
Whereabouts?
At Dandenong RSL.
Okay.
It is also already booked out and with people on standby.
Right.
Knowing that Lex is not going to be there and the new guy's going to be there. That was my biggest worry. And I made it quite clear to the people in December that Lex is now retiring. In other words, they don't come and say, oh, where is Lex? You know what I mean? And they still came and we're still performing the right songs. The only advice I give to musicians, perform the right songs for the people you're performing to.
Well, I think we've covered an awful lot of ground.
Yeah, we've covered politics, for God's sake. We're going to save the world.
We might leave that for another day, saving the world. Yeah. Look, I'd just like to thank you so very much for not just inviting me into your studio, but into your life and bringing the listeners in with you. It's been a fantastic experience and wish you well for the future.
Thank you. Thank you.
I thought we might finish the interview with a track by Stex, which is Stan's group featuring Stan and Lex Pirotta on vocals, Tony Azzopardi and Danny Azzopardi on drums, Greg Azzopardi on piano and keys, and a range of other musicians. And the track is a cover of the Drifters' hit, Save the Last Dance for Me.
You can dance, every dance with the guy who gives you the eye, let him hold you tight. You can smile, every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Oh, I know that the music's fine, like the sparkling wine. Go and have your fun.
Oh, I know.
Laugh and sing.
Yes, I know.
While we're apart, don't give your heart to anyone. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never ever let you go. I love you all so much.
You can dance.
Go and carry on till the night is gone. And it's time to go.
You can dance. can dance.
If he asks,
you can dance.
If you're
you
alone, can he take you,
you
home?
Dance.
You must tell
you
him no.
Dance.
But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So, darling, save the last dance for me. The last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never ever let you go. I love you all so much. Well, you can dance,
you can dance.
Go on, carry
on dance.
Till the night is gone
dance.
And it's time
you
to go
dance.
If he asks,
you
if you're
you
alone, can he take you home?
Dance.
You must tell him no. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, save the last dance for me.
Listen to Older Voices is produced by Rob Greaves at the Melbourne Community Support Program. Listen to Older Voices is supported by financial assistance from the Commonwealth Government through the Commonwealth Home Support Program and is podcast to you through the Toorak Times and TAG.